Okay, my name is Moshe Weinberger, and I don't get to see you that often. I come by every now and then. Maybe each, because there's so many, chevra in the yeshiva that I get really maybe twice a year, three times a year. So there are no tests, no homework, no tests. The only thing I ask is that for the one or two, three times that I come in here, is that you keep your phone in your pocket and try to keep your attention to pay attention. And I'm totally happy to talk to you about anything you would like to. If you want to have a discussion about anything, I'm fine with that. I'm totally comfortable with that. And I also see chevra privately, individually. It's also my pleasure, and that could be worked out. Otherwise, I would share with you some thoughts that I have about what's going on in my head and in my heart. We'll talk a little bit. But if there's something that you'd like to talk about, I'm fine with that. If there's any of you that would like to talk about something. That's the usual response with guys your age. This doesn't mean that you don't have things that you want to talk about. There are other reasons why. If you make the same offer in a classroom of girls, 20 hands go up. That's why you're going to have issues when you're married. You'll work them out, Mr. Shem, but you'll have issues. The girls want to talk, and the guys say, "Well, me, everything's fine. No problem." The girls talk, and the guys cook. They just cook. Comes out in different ways. If I just pass this page around, and I'm going to talk to you. What I'm going to say is going to take around 2.5-3 hours, but I'm going to say it in around 20 minutes, okay? Don't worry. I'm going to say it quickly, but you have to listen quickly. So I have to concentrate. Nobody's going to get hot if you close the door. But maybe. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay, have a listen carefully. Jews have been making sacrifices for many years. And our sacrifices started a long time ago. You know that you're all in Shul the Shabbos, and you know that we read about that first time that a Jew was asked to sacrifice, really big time, to give up his only son, as Binchas Sichidecha. Avraham Avinu was asked to give up his child. We're still making sacrifices as Jews. These past few weeks, there have been more sacrifices. Jews who are stabbed, Jews who are run over because they're Jews. Every time that a Jew is killed because he's a Jew, it's a continuation of the Akedah. What's fascinating is that Yitzhak himself wasn't killed, right? He was almost killed. He was almost killed by his own father. But ever since then, if a Jew has the ability to give up everything because he's a Jew, it comes from there. So I want to talk to you about the very, very remarkable bracha that Hashem gave through the angel, through the malach, that Hashem gave to Avraham Avinu after he was told to put down the knife. To put down the knife. A Jew knows how to put the knife down. An Arab doesn't. You understand? Right? A Jew knows how to put a knife down. Jews don't want to kill. So after the Akedah, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Yanesh Rasisa Sadova Azah, because you were ready to do this, Lechashachtes Binchas Yichidacha, and you didn't hold back from me your only son, meaning the one who you love so much. Kivarecha Varechacha, Hashem says, I'm going to give you a bracha. Vaharba Arbe Zarecha, and I'm going to increase your children. Do you know what the brach was? Hashem, when he says, I'm going to increase your children, Hashem gave two images of this world that Hashem always uses in the brachas that he gives to us when we have children and grandchildren. You know what the two images are? You know what the two images are? Heaven.
The sand and the stars.
The sand and the stars. Excellent. Hashamayim v'chachol asher al sfas hayam. Hashem said, I'm going to make the Jewish people stronger and bigger. And you're going to be like the stars of the heavens, v'chachol asher al sfas hayam, like the sand that's upon the shore, the seashore. V'yirash zaracha eshar oivav, and that your children will be able to defeat their enemies. So the Ramban explains that Hashem is making a promise over here that there are going to be many sacrifices that we're going to have to make over the years. But at the end, we're going to survive. And in the end, we're going to be victorious. The Mets have lost, but the Jewish people are not going to lose. In the end, we're going to be victorious. We're going to win. Winning doesn't just mean that we'll be able to live in our own country and to be safe. It means we'll be able to win physically and spiritually. In the end, it'll be good. In the end, it'll be good. There'll be a lot of sacrifices, but in the end, it's going to be good. And Hashem reveals in this amazing pasuk that there are two ways that we can come to redemption, to Geula. One is called the stars of the heavens. The other is called the sand of the shore. These are two ways of redemption. I'm going to explain this. I'm sure many of you have heard that we have a very, very ancient tradition. The Chazal explained in the Gemara, goes back all the way to the Navi, that redemption can take place in two ways. Be'ita achishana, either in his appointed time, because Hashem has a set time by which redemption must take place. This craziness is not going to go on forever, God forbid. But there's also a way that we can make it happen faster. That was in Mitzrayim also that way, you remember? Because in Egypt, there was a set time, but it was accelerated. We left earlier. That's why everything with the Yetzias Mitzrayim was a rush. It happened earlier than the set time. So when it comes to the final redemption with Mashiach also, it can happen in two ways. Either in its appointed time, that date that was set, whatever that means. From creation, we have a tradition. Not all accept this tradition, but we have a tradition that Gullus cannot continue beyond this millennium. In other words, that by the 6,000th year, we're now in Tavshin Ayin Vav, that by the year 6,000, Mashiach must come, regardless. There is a tradition like that. So there is an appointed time. Throughout history, there were different tzaddikim that tried to figure out, based upon calculations and gematrias, what the time was. But there can also be an earlier time that Mashiach comes. Mashiach can come in one of two ways. In either of those two ways. We have two descriptions of how Mashiach is going to come into the world. They're very, very deep. People that don't learn the deeper meaning of Chazal, they look at these things and they say, well, I don't know what they're talking about. One thing, he could come flying in on a cloud, but it means something much deeper than like some grand entrance, which is a pretty cool thing to come in on a cloud, but it's much deeper than that. And the other tradition is that he's going to be coming in Ka'ani Rochev Al Chamor. What does that mean? A poor man, like a poor man riding on a donkey. Also, two ways of redemption. Cloud that corresponds to the stars. And riding on a donkey that corresponds to this end of the shore. Now let me explain this. Listen carefully. Let's talk about stars. You know, they used to advertise on the radio some kind of a scam that you could buy your girlfriend a star. You know that? You want to give your girlfriend a gift. You can have a star registry someplace. And you could, for like $20, you could have a star named for your girlfriend. So if your girlfriend's name is like Chaya Shprintz or something, you could have a star in the galaxy for $20 that they'll call Chaya Shprintz. You know how many millions of people have done that? Yeah, there is such a thing. You know, it's called the Star Registry. I don't know if they still do that. But probably some Jews behind it made a lot of money selling stars. Star Registry. But you know, There is something to that, not to the scam and the scandal of making money. Because the pasuk does say, Hamotzi b'mispar tzivam, l'kulam b'shem yikra. That means that Hashem has given a name to every star. Hashem has given a name to every star. That means that each star, we don't know what this means, but every star, and there are billions of them, trillions of stars, but each and every star has a certain kalach, has a certain tafkid, has something in this universe which we don't understand why it exists. And the light of that star is uniquely its own. But what's interesting about stars is that although each one has its own individual koach, its own light, but stars go together and form constellations, right? Constellations. How do we call constellations in Hebrew? Who knows? How do we call a constellation in Hebrew? It's a word that you all know. I want to share with you the good news of Baruch Hashem. We had a granddaughter yesterday, my wife and I. Mazel tov. Thank you. A constellation is called a mazel. Constellations are called mazalot, mazel. It's called a mazel. A constellation is called a mazel. A cluster of stars. Sometimes they create forms and shapes that are fascinating. It's a very deep thing in Torah. What the koach of the mazalot are, the mazalos. So the nature of stars is that each one has its own light, its own identity, its own koach, confidence. And it also has a support system, a fantastic support system that's called the constellation. It's called the mazal. Mazalot, mazalos. And there are Jews that are like that. There are Jews that are like that. You and I have met people like that. There are Jews that have tremendous light. I don't mean volts and wattage. In Yiddish, you call somebody a lichtige mensch. Lichtig. Lichtig. There are Jews that they're just confident and they're shining with a certain sense of mission in life. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to accomplish. And you can't, you know, nothing gets in their way. Mamish, unbelievable. Nothing gets in the way. I want to do this. I want to accomplish this. And oftentimes, these Jews have the ability to connect to rebbeim, to teachers. They have a lot of contacts. They network. These are successful people, very highly motivated, successful people. So there's a bracha that we have that was given to our grandfather, to Avraham Avinu. Hashem said that you're going to have children who are going to be like the stars of the heavens. And there are Jews that are like that. There used to be a lot more. The light has gotten very dim lately. But there are Jews who are like that, not so many anymore. There used to be a lot more of those kind of Jews. That mom is shining like the stars. That's when the Jewish people, if we would all be like that, that's the ideal state of the Jewish people. Mamish. And we would be worthy of redemption. We wouldn't have to wait so many years. It would be Achishana. A Mashiach would come into our lives flying in on a cloud. Gevaldi. When everybody knows what I am, everybody knows this is my job in life, to be a Jew, to be an Eved Hashem, to serve the Creator, to be a good husband, a good father, a good friend, to know what you want to do with your lives. You're coming to a certain age. What's the average age here? 19, 20? So you're getting, it starts to get a little bit scary soon. You're getting to that time when like the pressure's on, and people start to ask you, like, so what do you want to do? And you still would like to say, I thought I'd play a little ball in the afternoon. Maybe chill. You know, catch a movie. Chavrusa. And the people are starting to say, no, that's all good. So you can still do that, but I want to know what you want to do. And then you start to think, would you like to get married? Once you're getting to the age of 20, then you know, you're starting to think like that. And the hormones are all over the place, mamish. And you want to be a good Jewish boy, so you figure I better get married. But then you're nervous because then the girl's going to have some father, hopefully. And the guy's going to sit you down and say, "Son, it's nice to meet you. Where are you from?" "From Teaneck." "From Teaneck?" "Yeah." "From Memphis?" "From Chicago?" "From New York?" "From Brooklyn?" "So, what are you planning on doing?" Yikes. So you're getting to that age, right? Someone's going to sit you down. If they don't, that's really scary. It's even scarier if no one asks you those questions. So you're already starting to think, you know, what am I going to do? Sometimes you mix it up with the question of, what am I going to be? Because you could be anything. You might not be able to do everything. Like, if any of you still think you're going to play, like, in the major leagues or something, probably not. I mean, you might be some good athletes over here, but it's not likely. And if you think you're going to be in the NBA, you could forget it. That's for sure out. Because that you have to be like a mutation that could jump 14 feet, you know. That's not going to happen. Baseball, you can still drag around a little bit. You know. Baseball's out. Football, that's like, yeah, you know, it's like the Hulk or something. You have to be from another planet to be. Jews don't work. That doesn't work out for Jews. You're not going to be on a professional football team. I mean, you know, you might be a good athlete, but you're just too skinny. You just, they're gonna kill you. They're gonna kill you, man. Can you imagine one of those guys? He doesn't have to even push you. Just to look at you. He just has to look at you. Boom. That's not for Jews. You know, you guys are not gonna. It's not gonna happen. But anyway, you're already past that. You're not 14, you're not 15. You already gave up being professional ball players. So you're thinking about different stuff. Different things that Jews could do. Where you could still keep Shabbos and be Jews, whatever. And make a living. Have some nice house someplace. Maybe with a little bit of a pool, you know. A mikveh, a pool, something. So you're thinking. And the pressure's starting to... It's going to start. You know, now it's going to start. It's going to get stronger now over the next year or two. What do you want to do? What are you going to do? What do you want to do with your life? Who are you? So there are some Jews that they're like stars. You know, they come to the world. It's like the kid in the class that, like, his shirt is always tucked in, and even when he was little, his nose never, like, ran. You know what I mean? You have kids like that. They're just, and they behave. They always have their homework, and everything is nice, you know? And they have a certain mahalach that they go like that in life. So Hashem gave a bracha that there were going to be Jews who were like stars. And if all of Am Yisrael would be that way, it'd be Machiah, Mashiach would come on a cloud, and all this craziness of Golos would be finished. We'd be back in Yerushalayim with each other. That's not how most people are. There are Jews like that, but that's not how most people are. Because Hashem revealed to Avraham Avinu that there's a second way. There's a different path. The second path is much harder. It's not as glamorous. It's not shining. It hurts. It's hard. It's compared to a poor man riding on a donkey. I'll explain why a donkey in a minute. It's hard. It's mamish hard. This is compared to chol kachol asher al svas hayam, like the sand that creates the shore of the ocean, the sand. Kachol asher al svas hayam. So let's talk about sand for a minute, about chol. Even the word chol, does that mean something else to you besides sand? You ever, where is that word from?
Yom chol.
Chol HaMoed, Yom chol. Excellent. Right? Hamavdil ben Kodesh, Lachol. Chol means Kodesh is holy, Shabbos is holy, Yontif. And then you have chol. Chol means something which is plain. It could even be worse than plain. It could mean something which is chul and plain, even profane. Chol. The word in Hebrew for somebody who is sick is what? Chole, Hashem Yoach. Machala, chole, chol. Kachol asher al svas hayam. Now, when we talk about granules of sand, there's a general klal. If any of you ever tried to build sandcastles on the shore when you were little, or maybe you still do that, there's something about sandcastles that it doesn't work unless you try a little bit to make it wet. Maybe you could do something, but if you just take sand and you try to put it together, it falls apart. Each granule each granule of sand on its own doesn't have really an identity. It's not like a star. Kulam b'shem yikra. Each star is a powerful, powerful light, a presence in the universe. It's not the same when it comes to a granule of sand. A granule of sand is a nebuch. A granule of sand, you can barely see. Maybe under a magnifying glass to look at a granule of sand. As far as the granule of sand, they don't really have a chevra. They don't stick together. There's a big gathering of granules, but sand doesn't come together. Even when it's wet, you can make it stay a little bit, but then the rain comes, and then it washes it away in a minute. So there are Jews who are kachol al sher al sfas hayam. They're like the sand on the shore. And the sand on the shore means billions and billions of individuals who don't really shine, who don't really know exactly who they are and what they want to do in life, and are oftentimes weak, and they really don't form constellations with others. It's describing the generation before Mashiach that we're in right now. Now, what I'm going to tell you now is based upon the teaching of the Klei Yakar by the Akedah Yitzhak in this past parasha. He says a very beautiful thing. The question he asks is very obvious by this point. What is the bracha that Hashem says you will be like the sand of the shore? We understand when Hashem gave us a bracha, you will be like the stars of the heavens. It's gewaltig, it's terrific. Shining, strong constellations. Mashiach on a cloud. Everything is clear. Everything is right. And everything is beautiful. Tzaddik, the guys at Tzaddik, mamish, terrific. What's the bracha that you will be like the sand upon the shore? What kind of a bracha is that? What kind of a bracha is that? To be like the sand, the dirt, the sand. So the Klei Yakar brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. It's in Perikei in Yirmiyahu. Asher samti chol gvul layam. The question is as follows. What is the koach of the seashore, of the sand that is upon the shore? What is the koach of the seashore? So the Navi Yirmiyahu, the pasuk says, Asher samti chol gvul layam. That means that chol has the ability, the seashore, is really protecting the entire world. You remember Sandy a couple of years ago? Those of you from New York? So, anybody who lives near any water remembers Sandy very well. It's a scary thing when the seashore is not doing what it's supposed to. It usually does. But oy, 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 when the seashore is not. When you have, God forbid, a tsunami. You remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, ready, there was a big one. Yeah. You saw a minute before, there are like islands with homes and villages, and then 30 seconds later, it's gone. Kachol asher al sfas hayom, the Klei Yakar explains that even though there are going to be many, many tidal waves of hatred that are going to wash over the Jewish people, and even though the whole world is going to seek to destroy us time and time again, and even though the culture and the civilizations that we live in are going to be so much against everything that you and I believe in, And every single day is a struggle that the tsunami of life will not wash us away. Hashem gave a promise after the Akedah that there will be sacrifices, there will be losses. But He gave a bracha that you shall be kachol asher al sfas hayam. Kachol asher al sfas hayam means that even though, as it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, kol mishbarecha v'galecha alai avar, David Melech said that all of your waves, all of your powerful waves have passed over me. David Melech had a very hard life. Very, very hard life. He went through a lot of difficulties without going into all the details. He had a hard life. In the end it worked out, but he had a very hard life. And he said, kol, if you ever say Tehillim, you know, he had a hard life. And he said, kol mishbarecha v'galecha alai avar means that Hashem, you brought all the waves upon me. They crash against me. But it's an amazing thing. The power of the seashore is that the seashore has the ability to hold back the waves. It has the ability, Ashasamti Chol Gvulayam, Hashem says, I have made this shore, the sand, somehow has the ability to hold back the waves. It's an interesting thing. The technology that's available now that you already have grown up with, you don't remember a time where there were no cell phones. I don't think you remember that. You were born, this is the first generation, right? You're holding it right now in your hand, put it away like I is. I'm not going to identify the individuals doing that. Put your weapon away. You already grew up in a world with cell phones. You grew up in that world. You don't remember a time. Your parents remember it because it's not so long ago, but you're young. And I don't mean to sound like some, you know, it's, you sound like an old guy that's talking about like light bulbs and stuff. I know it, I'm not anti-technology, although I don't really get into it. But there was a time that people were free. There was a time that people could walk on the street and look at trees and just breathe the air without staring at a thing and bumping into people and getting run over and stuff. There was a time like that. You don't know of such a time. It's not ancient history, it's just a couple of years ago. The lashonas that they use, even when it comes to being on the internet, they use a lashon like surfing the web, right? Surfing. The ocean that is threatening us now in Eretz Yisrael is smaller compared to water. And Islam is like a huge tsunami that's threatening to wash away all of Western civilization, bichlal, and to destroy the Jewish people, God forbid, bifrat. Most people, most civilized people know that the purpose that Iran has in developing nuclear weapons is to, God forbid, is to destroy us Jews, in Eretz Yisrael. And the Nevi'im spoke a long time ago about at the end of time, those two worlds of Christianity and Islam, of Esav and Yishmael, that we're reading about now in these parishes, are going to join together to try to destroy us. That's called, Yishmael's called water. That's why everything with Hagar and with Yishmael in last week's parasha was with Chemes Mayim, with water, not having water in the water, water getting water, not having water. Yishmael's all about water. Esav is fire. At the end of time, the tidal wave of Yishmael is threatening to destroy us and the entire world. On a spiritual level, the technology is threatening to destroy us. Some of you are already obsessed with that. Some of you, I hope, God forbid, none of you, already are losing some control over what you're watching on the internet. Are losing some control. The fact that it's almost impossible for Bochum your age not to reach into their pocket to take it out for more than a half hour is a sign that the wave is washing over. And it looks like it's going to take us away. When it comes to pornography, every day, almost every day of the week, I have a wonderful Jewish woman that calls me to say that she, to tell me that she wants a divorce because she found on her husband's phone. For some reason, he left his phone somewhere, and she took a look and pressed a little button to see how much he loves her, how much it has her picture on the thing and the babies, and how much it has her name up in lights. And instead, it says over there, like, Andrea. And then she presses some more buttons, and then there are some pictures. And then she presses some more buttons. By this time, she's crying like a baby. By the time she's finished, she calls up the rabbi and says, I can't live with my husband. I can't look at him. He's a disgusting animal. This is what I have to deal with every day. Not from my community. There are few in every community, but from different places. This is what I'm dealing with. Yesterday, it was with somebody who, besides being addicted to pornography, is also addicted to alcohol and to drugs. It's all compounded. He's a great guy. He's a great guy, he's a Talmud Chacham. He sits around during the day with Mesil Shama of the Gemara, just like you. And he looks beautiful, just like you do. He's got a nice yarmulke and sitches. and his wife wants to leave him, and she wants to take away the 9 children they have. 9 children. She's just a holy Jewish woman, like some Beis Yaakov girl. She married like one of the top guys in the yeshiva. And now, she doesn't know what to do. She can't look at him. She can't live in the same house. This is not happening occasionally. There's a tidal wave of mamash. Again, it's not because of the tidal. There's a lot of good stuff on there. I'm not going into that. I used to scream and try to fight with it, and I was hoping that maybe it would go away. You know, everybody would throw it into fire, and we'd be able to live happily ever after. But I see that we've lost. I don't know why Hashem is bringing us at the end of time to live with this wave of filth that's carrying away a lot of beautiful Jews that are just being taken away by this wave. You know, it's an amazing thing. It's coming up soon that when Yaakov Avinu was getting ready to meet Esav, now he thought Esav was going to come to kill him, right? He was coming with 400 guys, 400 like goons, and Yaakov thought, this is it. This is going to be a big showdown. It's going to be a big war. So it's interesting how it says over there in the Pasuk that Hashem, that Yaakov Avinu davened to Hashem, Va'ata amarta heitev eitev imach. Hashem, you told me that you would take care of me, you'd be good to me. V'samti azaracha kachol hayom. And then my children would be like the seashore, like the sand of the shore. It's interesting. Yaakov Avinu does not mention in his davening to Hashem that you promised that we'd be like the sand, like the stars. He says you promised we would be like the shore, the sand of the shore. Who knows what? Why didn't he say you promised that we would be like the stars and the sand? Why did Yaakov Avinu daven when Esav was coming? Why did he daven that we should be like the? You promised that we would be like the sand of the shore. Why? Why did he say? Why not the stars? At the very least, Rabbi Yishlom, you promised us that we'd be able to hold back waves. Forget about stars. We're not stars. Me and you, I don't know you, but I'm not a star. Just because I have a beard and a long coat doesn't make that. You just go to the store, you can buy one. I can go to the Borough Park this afternoon, you can get the same thing. It's probably cheaper than what you're wearing. That's not a big deal. Beards? Most of you could grow them already by now. Not everybody. Most of you can grow beards by now. Pais? You don't cut it, it grows, But to be able to stand up against the wave, the waves of the ocean, our brothers and sisters, the soldiers in Eretz Yisrael, that's one type. The Jews in Eretz Yisrael who are living with the filth of Yishmael threatening to stab them everywhere they're working in the streets, and Jews get together, religious, non-religious, and sing Am Yisrael Chai. That's one way that we're like the sand of the shore. But Hashem, you promised us, like Ami said, that at least, Hashem, even if we're not stars, the Jews will have the strength to be like the seashore. That just because something is on here doesn't mean that I have to press it. Just because nobody is watching me doesn't mean that I don't believe that you're watching me. Just because yesterday I didn't have self-control doesn't mean that today I don't have self-control. Because to be like the seashore means to have self-control, to be able to be strong, to hold up against the tidal wave. So when Yaakov knew that Esav was coming, he was davening not just for himself, he was davening for his children, he was davening for us, that my children should be able to stand up against the waves of the world that come to destroy them. Whether it's in the form of an Arab running after you with a knife or an axe, or whether it's in the form of a picture coming after you to take away your neshama, to burn you up and to take away your neshama, to make you into a person who's, by the time you get under the chuppah, you're so totally confused and messed up because you're marrying some nice, firm girl and she has no idea what you've already seen. And you're marrying some innocent, firm girl. She might have seen a show here or there, but the girls are generally normal. They're generally to me mystic. They don't go into all this stuff. And then these husbands think that their wives are going to be like the girls that they saw. And she's just a nice, firm girl that sneezed. The husband thinks that she's going to be like somebody that he saw on the internet. And she's not like that. And she didn't bargain for that when she got married. She just wanted a nice Jewish guy. She also likes to be together with the husband. Forgive me for talking honestly, but you're not babies. I hope you're okay with it, right? She's just a nice Jewish girl. Yeah, she's cool. And she dresses a little bit, sometimes you can catch a little bit of the knee, So. And sometimes her sweater's a little bit too tight. Can we talk Mamalush, right? Talking with you. Straight. But she's a Jewish girl. She's not the girl on the movie. You know what I mean? She's just not. She's not even the girl on the news. Forget about the pornography. She's not even the girl on the news. Just to be on ABC. They're not putting your grandmother on the television. You understand? There's no boobies up there. Just to be, so every guy, the guys get married, they've been watching this stuff. Forget about pornography. You've been watching just the news. You're a smart guy. You don't watch the bad stuff. You like the news. So you've been watching just news. You know, whatever it is, CNN, NBC, whatever the news stations are. And you've been watching those gals on the news for the last 10 years. Just that. Then you're marrying your Jewish wife. The girls on the news don't look like that also on a Monday morning, you know. They don't even look like that when they're there. It's all makeup and drugs. And then you marry your nice Jewish wife, and you're expecting her to be the girl on the news. I'm not talking about the other girl, those women, Hashem Yarach. I'm talking about the girl on the news. And she's not. She's a nice, firm girl. And even though she's pretty, she's not a performer. She's not an actress. She's your kid's mother. She's, you know, the real thing. This is not Hollywood. This is the real thing. The real thing is not like the way it looks over there. So Hashem said that you will be like the sand of the shore. What that means is that even when we're not shining like stars, a Jew has the ability to be strong, to hold back Esav and Yishmael, to hold back the tidal waves, the Shesamti Chol Gvul Layam. Because it's true that most of us in these days before Mashiach are not shining like stars anymore. And it seems that Hashem is testing us before Mashiach comes. That right before Mashiach comes, the last test of history is, are we going to be able to be like the sand of the shore? Are we going to be able to be strong to hold ourselves back from getting washed away by the tidal wave? That seems to be the test that Hashem is putting us through. Kachol asher al svas hayam. That's what we're living in right now. So Mashiach doesn't come flying in on a cloud. Doesn't look like it. But he comes driving in ka'oni al hachamor, like a poor person on a donkey. So let's talk for 1 minute about why is he coming in on a chamor, on a donkey. When people see these things, they think, what is Chazal talking about? What does it mean, ka'oni roichav al chamor? Have any of you ever been on a chamor before, on a donkey? So, who knows in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, what does the word chamor come from? What does the word chamor come from? In Hebrew, what is the meaning of the word chomer? Chomer, material, matter, is chomer, physical reality. That's called chomer, or chumriyut, chumrius, chomer. The chamor, the donkey, is a strange animal. It's a funny animal. If you've been to Eretz Yisrael, you've seen them. I mean, they don't hang out over here, but you've seen them in Eretz Yisrael. When my wife and I were first married, I was there in Yeshiva, and we lived, you know where Torah Shvagi is now? That's my wife and I lived there, a couple of apartments over there on campus, you know what I mean? We lived over there as part of the kolof from this Yeshiva. We were there, that's when it was just starting to do such a thing, to have married couples over there. My wife and I were actually the only couple that year. There were a few others, but they didn't come. They were supposed to come. And we lived on campus by Torah Shvagi. We lived over there in one of the apartments. You know, there's the base medrash, and then there's a big thing, and then across from that there were a couple of apartments. So we lived in one of those apartments. And we needed a refrigerator. The yeshiva did not provide a refrigerator. They just said you could eat in the dining room, but my wife didn't feel comfortable going like with 200 guys every time for lunch and supper. So we found in Meir Sharm the best refrigerator we ever had in our lives. It cost $45. It was from 1945. It was the best refrigerator we ever had. I'm not joking. We had this fancy refrigerator, like double now, this big thing with the super duper that breaks down every year. We had this Gaval, and it's not even cold. That's all it has to do. It doesn't do it. We had this refrigerator. We got it. It was in the back yard in Meir Sharm, $45. And they told us that the delivery is coming on Thursday. And sure enough, it was Thursday afternoon, and there was an Arab walking with a donkey, and the refrigerator was tied onto the back of the donkey. That's how it was delivered from Meir Shar. That was the delivery. An old Arab pulling a donkey, and the donkey looked like he was from the time of Avraham Avinu. And he was carrying the refrigerator. He's called a chamor. The donkey is called a chamor because there is no other beast in the world that has as least spirituality as the donkey. That's why it'll schlep like that. It's a pure piece of physical matter. Chomer. When Mashiach is described as a poor man riding on a chamor, it means that our generation in many ways we're poor. In mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs, ma'as and tovim, we're poor. But Hashem said that this generation is being tested whether or not we could ride upon the donkey. Riding upon the donkey means with a chomer, where physical reality doesn't wash you away, doesn't destroy you. You ride upon it. You take control of it. That's what it means, to take control of it. It means to take control of your life. That's what Hashem has left us of. Left in our hands before Mashiach comes. That's what all Masil Hashem is about. You're learning the introduction. What does it mean? Because if you don't begin to think about, forget about what you're going to do to make a living. That's important. I'm not making a slight of that. It's an important thing to know what you want to do. But putting that aside, not what you want to do, but who you want to be, and what the purpose is of your life. If you don't live with a strong sense of what your purpose is in life, of what you want to do. Mr. Shem, you should have enough money, not only for yourselves, but to give to a lot of other people. What you want to do, but who you want to be. Because if you don't have that nowadays, if you don't have a strong sense of my tachlis in life, machavasa ba'olamo, then the waves are gonna win. Then the chamor, the donkey, you know, your shmol is compared to a donkey. It was in last week's parsha. When Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak went up to that keder, Avraham Avinu says, "Shulach and poor my chamor, and even our Nelchako, you sit here with the chamor." He says to Eliezer, and Chazal say, "I'm hadar melechamor, that your shmol is compared to a donkey." Either we control the donkey, or the donkey takes control of us. Either we control the wave, or the waves wash us over. That's the time that we're living in. It would be a shame for you, or for myself, or for any of us. It would be a terrible shame to live, God forbid, a double life like the person that I met with yesterday. It would be a terrible, terrible shame for you to be guys who are keeping secrets from your wives. Because if you think you're keeping secrets from your parents and you're keeping secrets from the Creator, you're not. The Neshamas know. And I told this person yesterday that he needs a lot of help and he wants to get help. But I said, you first have to talk to your wife. Tell her the truth. There has to be full disclosure. You have to come clean. You have to tell her the truth. He said, I can't do that. He said, you have to. She'll divorce me. She won't divorce you. The ones who are getting divorced are the ones who don't tell their wives. You tell your wife. And you'll get help. And I'll talk to people, get money to help you raise them. I'll raise some money to help you get help. And you go to rehab, you get help. You could be helped. You could take control of your life again. You could be in charge of your life. I'm talking to you about this because you're living at a time in your lives where the decisions that you're making are not just about where you want to go to school and what you want to do to make a living. It's about whether you want to live. Making a living is your income, but whether you want to live. And to live means the bracha of kachol asher svasayim. Over chalzos, Hashem gave us a bracha that we should be like stars. So I'll finish. And I'll tell you, there was once a big rabbi, the rabbi from Rizhin, Shchus Yigalim, the holy Rizhiner. And the Rizhiner once was standing outside by Kiddush Levana. It was the new moon. And the Rizhiner was standing and staring at the stars. For a long time, somebody asked him, Rebbe, what are you staring so much at the stars? So he said that Hashem gave us a bracha that we're going to be kekochvei ha-shamayim, like the stars of the heavens. He said, you know what's the most amazing thing about a star? It's the most amazing thing about a star is that it's so far away. It's so far away. The Rebbe didn't even know how far. Now we have a better idea how far these stars. It's so far away. Light years and light years and light years away. But somehow, its light is able to make it through all of that darkness and to shine. So the Rebbe said, I was just thinking about that's the bracha that Hashem gave us. That at the end of time, we're going to have to live through such unbearable darkness, but we'll still be able to shine. The light will still somehow be revealed. So I want to give you a bracha. I'm sure you give the same thing to me. That we should all be able to be strong like the sand of the shore. And that the time will come, it should be soon, that we'll be able to shine also like the stars. It's really two brachas that are one bracha. But the main avoda now, before Mashiach comes, the main avoda is to be strong. I didn't talk to you today about how to be strong or what the eitz is. It's a very lonely battle. Because I was telling you that each granule of sand, they don't have constellations of sand. Each granule is by itself. And that's how you feel. God forbid when you're sitting there at 2 in the morning looking at something. There's no therapist sitting next to you. It's just you by yourself, a little granule of sand on God's earth that has to take charge of your life. Hashem Yisbarach should give you the strength that you should do. You should be able to marry in such a way where you don't have to hide and be embarrassed. I'm talking about this a lot now because I'm very tzebrochen about the conversations that I have to have with people. I have two lives. I have my life here in the yeshiva and then I have as a rav. It's very, very painful to hear all the things that I'm hearing. And I don't know you, but I desperately want you to have good lives, and I don't want you to have that, the conversation this guy had with me yesterday, to have a conversation some years from now with the Rebbe or the Rav or the Rabbi or the therapist. Because that's what we're holding now. It's us against the world. It's crazy. That's just how it is. So Hashem should make you strong soldiers. Hashem should make our soldiers strong. And she b'zeichem Mrs. Shem to go back and to be on the shores of Netanya and Tel Aviv and to be all the way in Yerushalayim and to shine like the stars of night in Yerushalayim and should be b'mehem yomeinu amen v'amen. Thank you for listening. I know it's hard, it's hot, and it's boring, and I appreciate you taking the time. Shkoichev.